from Micah chapter 5, starting from verse 1.
Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek.
As we were studying the book of Micah chapter 4, this one verse is belong to that chapter. But somebody did the dividing the chapter and verses, didn't understand the meaning. This verse belonged to chapter 4. In the chapter 4, we heard that you are crying, you are weeping like a travailing pain, but you are going to go to exile. And the enemy will come and destroy your people, especially all the kings, judges, and the princes. So here he's saying that, O daughter of troops, he's trying to say Israeli people were very famous. Solomon was the great king. David was the great king. They defeated many people. And so the Israeli people, they have great armies. But your army is not going to do anything in front of the armies are coming to destroy you. And they will come and they will hit with a rod to your judges and to your kings and your princes. But when you read these words, the reference will be given that they were hitting Jesus Christ with a rod on his head. But this is not hitting to Jesus. This is about their judges and their king before Jesus Christ come. Because when you read these words too, see what is happening. Let's read the words too.
But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Now he said, but, when you read the words but, that means these things are happening to your people, but there is a Savior is coming. And so the Jesus Christ was coming as a babe in a Bethlehem. And if you remember, in Matthew chapter 2, when the Magi or this wise man came to see Jesus as the Savior or the King, and they wanted to worship, and they somehow God told them to go to the king and ask the king. And when they asked the king, where is the king of Jews is born, the king was afraid. And the whole country, city was, they were afraid. And so when they said, let's call all the wise people or Sadducees or Pharisees, the scribe who knows the Bible, bring them and let's say what they're saying. Go to the Matthew chapter 2. Start reading from 2 or 3 or whatever.
Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.
Now they said, this is the prophecy, that the ruler of Israel, the king of Israel, is coming from Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? Because Jesus Christ is the son of David. And that's why he was coming from Bethlehem. We have several scriptures we're going to read. We know everything, but when we are preaching and recording this, this is for the people who do not know. Read the St. John chapter 7, verse 42.
Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?
Now here is saying, Jesus Christ as the seed of David, the son of David, that's why he's coming from the Bethlehem. And read the Luke chapter 2, reads verse 4 and 5.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David.
Now see, history is telling why Jesus Christ should be born in Bethlehem, because David was living in Bethlehem. And if you want to know more, you go and read the book of Samuel, chapter 16. And here, Samuel goes to Bethlehem and anoints the David. So we know that David's home was Bethlehem. And when you say son of David, that's why he is coming from Bethlehem. This prophecy is given that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to come in a Bethlehem. But it is not new to us. In those days, people didn't know because people were confused. In the Word of God says, my son, I will call him from Egypt. So they thought, you know, he's coming from Egypt. Then he says, he's coming from Nazareth or Galilee. And so the people were confused. That's why it's very specifically saying he's coming in Ephrathah, the small town. There is a Bethlehem village, and he's coming from that village. And when the prophecy fulfilled, now we know how God said it thousands of years, what God was going to do. And so the Jesus Christ is that king. The people start thinking Jesus Christ is going to come and he will rule the nations. If you remember, Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, he also said, he is coming, he is going to deliver us, and we are going to be safe, and he is going to set us free. And all these prophets were thinking, first coming of Jesus Christ, maybe he'll be saving us. And we know this Palm Sunday, the same idea they had. They were trying to say, you're going to save us, you are our king. And they were praising God and glorifying God and making him king. And most of the people, they came and say, how long you're going to keep us thinking that you're going to rule or not? And some people forcefully even they tried to make him a king. And even Pilate said, are you the king of the Jew? He said, you say, but my kingdom is not of this world this time. Now, some people might be thinking, when Jesus Christ says, I'm not going to be ruling on this earth, then why he's coming in the millennium? But he came here to start his kingdom in our heart. First of all, he wanted to establish the kingdom in our heart. And whoever received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to them he gave the authority and power. And he said, one of these days, when I'll come as a king, you will be with me, kings and priests in my kingdom. And so he came at that time. People didn't understand. And when you read the verse 3, go to the Micah chapter 5, verse 3.
Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel.
Now this verse 3, if you read, you will not understand what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, even the Messiah is coming, and Messiah will come, but these people will not understand because they are going to reject him. If you remember, Jesus Christ went to his own people in St. John chapter 1, verse 11, but they did not recognize him. They did not receive him. And so here he's saying when he comes, they will not understand that he is their king. And they will be confused. And that's what happened when Jesus Christ says, I came here to take you under my wings, but you did not understand the timing. If they would have understood, maybe God would have changed the situation. But here he says they will not understand, but the time will come, just like we read in the chapter 4. Now you are travailing. Now you have birth pain. Now you are crying and weeping, and you will be keep on going weeping and crying because you do not understand the will of God. But now when he says, when you come back to give birth. When you say, when you have in travailing pain, you suffering and crying and weeping, and you think like you are going to die. But as soon as the baby is born, you are happy and joyful, and you forget your pain. And that's what's going to happen, he said. You will be crying and weeping and waiting for your deliverance. But when you come back to Israel, just like you are going to deliver the baby and you have joy. And many other Israeli people will come at that particular time. So he says, first time, you will not understand, you will reject him, but time will come. You will come back again, gather together, and joy and peace will be happening to you, just like now you are not having a birth pain, but you are delivering the baby, and joy will come, and many Israel will come back to Israeli place. Verse 4.
And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace, when the Assyrian shall come into our land. And when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men.
When Jesus Christ comes as a king, the word of God says, then they will have peace. Let's read the Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11.
Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young.
Now, when Jesus Christ coming, he's talking about second coming, he will take care of his people. And he says he'll take care of him just like he's taking care of his sheep in his arm. That's why when they read this chapter, people got the idea Jesus Christ is a shepherd. And they, you see so many places when the Lord is my shepherd, and they will show the picture of Jesus Christ is carrying the baby lamb. But when the first time Jesus Christ came, you never saw going as a shepherd and taking care of the sheep. Actually, he never did that. But Isaiah said it, this will happen. And so this will be happening in the millennium. Jesus Christ is going to take care of his people like his sheep, because nobody will be able to harm the children of Israel anymore. Now we see already the Israeli people are gathering in the Israeli place or Jerusalem. People wanted to divide the Jerusalem and take the land from the Israeli people. But the word of God says now it is impossible for the enemies to destroy them. Nobody has power to destroy Israeli people, because now they are waiting for Messiah. Some of the people, religious people, they are waiting for Messiah, but some of the people still didn't understand the Isaiah's prophecy. When God says, who is going to go? Isaiah says, I'll go. Actually, Jesus was saying, I'll go. When Isaiah said, I'll go and I'll preach, he said, you know what? Even though you preach, they will not understand. Their ears will be deaf, their eyes will be blinded, and they will not understand. So the way Isaiah's preaching, nobody understood. When he preached like Isaiah 53, and he showed them the first coming of Jesus Christ, how he will be crucified, and how will he save his people from sin, people didn't understand. And even today, Israeli people still do not understand that prophecy. So the point I'm making, Israeli people did not understand what the Isaiah was saying. But now we know Jesus Christ came, and now he says, I am a good shepherd. When he said, I'm a good shepherd, and good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And so he, as a good shepherd, he gave his life for the mankind. But when he's coming in the millennium, he will take care of Israeli people, and nobody will harm them. Micah chapter 5, verse 6.
And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders.
Now the Assyrians people were very strong, mighty warriors. And if you remember, the Nineveh was their one of their capitals. And so those people were very bad, and they treated Israeli people very bad. That's why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh to give the message of salvation to Nineveh. And so Assyrian people were very bad. They tried to treat Israeli bad, but when the Babylonian people came, they defeated Assyrian people and destroyed them, and then they already conquered the Israeli people. And as we know, the word of God says how God delivered them, how they will come. And when we starting reading the Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, all those books we read, how God delivered even the heathen king, got the inspiration to deliver the people of God and let them go. So here the word of God is saying God is going to fight with the Assyrian and with all these people. Now people will say there is no Assyrian, they are already defeated, but those people are coming from the land of the enemy. We will be learning a little bit further. Let's read the book of Isaiah chapter 14 verses 24 to 27.
The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and you shall disannul it, and his hand is stretched out, and you shall turn it back.
Now, here is saying God is going to destroy these Assyrian people, or this enemy, Assyrian or Babylonian kingdom. They were very strong and mighty people. And when you say Babylon, Babylon start with Nimrod. Nimrod was the king at that particular time. So the word of God says this Nimrod was the against of God. If you remember, they made the tower, means they want to go against God. They didn't want to worship God. They want to make their own ideas and mount out. And then God changed the language, and that's why this is called Babylon. But the point I'm making, this Babylonian kingdom coming from Nimrod, and those demonic things, Jesus Christ is going to come and destroy. When we learn that Jesus Christ is coming from Basra, and his clothes were red, and he says they stained with the blood. So Jesus Christ coming from, when you say Iraq, Iran, those are the place Babylonian kingdom was there. And so he will be destroying all of those kingdoms, all of those kings, when Jesus Christ is coming. Now, people are thinking Jesus Christ was the Prince of Peace and he will never fight with enemy. Jesus Christ came first time as a savior, but the second time he's coming as a king. And as he comes as a king, and when the Israeli people were looking for a king, at that time as a king, he will be doing great things than David or even Solomon. You remember what Jesus Christ said, I am greater than Solomon is here. So that means Jesus Christ is the greatest king ever lived on this earth. So he will be not the only king, he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, and let's go back to the Micah chapter 5 verse 7.
And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for men, nor waiteth for the sons of men.
Now when you read this, this is also a little bit difficult to understand. He said the Israeli people will be like a dew. And when you say, in the morning dew comes and the sun comes, how it looks like? It looks like a diamond, sir. So much beautiful to look at. And he says they will be like a shower on the grass. So that means these Israeli people will be all over the land. They will be so beautiful, so shining. People wanted to take them or do something. But when you take the dew in your hand, what happened? It vanished away. But when you see from far, it looks like a very beautiful pearls like. So he said, my people will be spread all around. And people will be jealous. People will be thinking, how beautiful are these people? But they could not do anything. They tried to take it. It's not there. And so he said, my people will be spread around everywhere. means there will be not a single place the Israeli people won't be there. Right now, wherever the Israeli people are, the other people are harassing them. And everywhere you go, the people are against Jewish people. But he said the time will come. Jewish people will be everywhere. And they will be like pearls, or they will be everywhere. And they will be beautiful to look at it. And so nobody can harm them. Nobody can destroy them. As you learn a little bit further, you will learn. Verse 8.
And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver.
See, they are looking, Israeli people everywhere, and they think they are beautiful, they are very precious, but at the same time, they will be like a lion among the beasts. Now the lion is the king of the beasts. So that means they will be all around all these people. This is the first time I heard that the wicked people or the Gentiles called the sheep. Most of the time the sheep is the God's people. But here they call sheep because these people will be all around like an animal. The sheep is also animal, but he says they will be like animal. And Israeli people will be like a lion. And then he says, if the lion is the king of the beast, all the animals are afraid of lion. Do you know when the one roar the lion gives, the animal they run or they will be quiet, will not say a word because they are afraid of the king of the beast, the lion. And then he gives another example of the young lion. The lion is roaring, lion is strong enough, but the young lion are much more worse than the father, because they go and catch some sheep or goat or anything. He says it will be hard for somebody to get rid of that lion or take the food away from his mouth. What he's trying to say, that all Gentiles will be afraid of Israeli people, and they will not be able to do any harm to them, but Israeli people can do anything, but they will be not able to deliver themselves. They will be just like afraid of young lion or the lion roaring in a jungle. So that's the kind of situation these people will be. Right now, everybody try to press Israeli people. All the nations, they are telling Israeli what to do. But the time will come, not a single person will go against Israeli people. They will be afraid. And that's what the word of God is saying. Okay, let's read verse 9.
Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots.
Now when you read this, we are studying about the how he will be destroying the enemy, and he will be afraid. And then is when you start reading that he will come and destroy your chariots and your warriors. And so if you remember when we were studying some of the Old Testament books, they said you are so proud of your chariots, and you are proud of your buildings and this and that. But he says the day will come, the God will going to destroy your chariots and your power and your strength. Why? The days are coming that you don't need those things, because now you are so proud that you have so strength and so power, but the enemy will come and take you away. And so I am going to take your strength away. Let's read the Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10.
And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth.
See, here is saying once the Israeli people's strength is gone, they have no power to fight, God will fight for Israeli people. Even the last chapter we read that he will make you like an iron's horn and your hoops will be like brass. But God is not going to give them the credit that they fought for their freedom. God will fight for them. Their strength, their power, their missile will not work. Because right now they are thinking they have Samson, what do you call, the missile, and they can take care of everybody and things like that. But God says, all your power, you cannot say, I deliver the children of Israel with my power. Your chariots, your power, your strength will be nothing, because God is the one who is going to take care of you, and he will be fighting for you. Sometimes people thinking that we can do our own thing and we have more power, but that's the time we get defeated. We have to say our God has power greater than anybody else. When we have problem, we go to somebody with an empty tank. Like when you have problem, go to the lawyer. You have problem, go to the doctor. You have problem, go to some counselor. But if they are not Christian, they give you a wrong counsel. They mess up your life. But the word of God says in Psalm 118, if you read verse 8 and 9, what he says, please read. He says, we should not be trusting any man. We should not be trusting any king. 118 verse 8 and 9.
It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
See, don't trust any man, don't trust any king, because we have to trust in God. There is another verse, 146 Psalms, 146 verse 3. Okay.
Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help.
See, when you put your trust in the Son of Man, or the man, mankind, there is no help. People are thinking, oh yes, doctor help, lawyer help, somebody help. But he says, you cannot trust them. Go read a little bit further.
His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish.
See, when the man dies, that man's thought, his idea, everything is vanishes. But our God is alive all the time. He's everlasting. He's ever living God. So why we go into the empty tank and empty places where there is no answer? The worldly doctors, you go and spend money, but they will not giving you in writing that what date and what month your disease will be finished. They have no guarantee. They will tell you to sign in the dotted line. There is no guarantee you might die. And so there is no guarantee from the world. But our God, when you trust in God, they'll always, he will rescue us, he will help us, but the worldly people will not. Read the following words.
Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
See, you will be very happy and joyful if you put your trust in the God of Jacob, or God of Israel, or Jesus Christ. So that's what the word of God is saying. Don't worry about your chariots. Don't worry about your power and strength and wealth and everything. Because when the time comes, you have no match to any enemies. They will take it away. But when God comes, he will take care of those enemies. He will destroy them. And he will settle his kingdom, a peaceful kingdom on earth. Let's go back to the Micah chapter 5, start reading from verse 11.
And I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands.
Now here he is talking to Israeli people, just like a heathens. Israeli people were worshipping idols. They were worshipping heathen gods. Even the Solomon was a great king. But he made so many temples for heathen gods, and actually the word of God says he went with his wives and he worshiped the heathen god. And so when the wisest king start doing those things, then you come to the king of Israel, Ahab, his wife Jezebel, not only worshiped the heathen gods, but kept 450 Baal gods prophet and feed them and help them, and they try to run the whole country because they were soothsayers and they were doing all kinds of things. But the time of the Saul, they destroyed all these witches and all these soothsayers. You remember when he went there, the lady was afraid. He said, I cannot tell anything because King Saul destroys us all. He said, I promise you, I will not destroy it. It will not happen to you. But the point I'm making, King Saul went to her and all other kings start doing this, and many, many Israeli kings start worshipping Baal gods and different kinds of gods. So he said, I'm going to take away the witchcraft. I'm going to take all the graven images and all these things you are worshipping will be gone. In the millennium, Israeli people will not be worshipping any images or any gods anymore. Verse 14.
And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard.
Now, here he's saying, not only I'm going to take care of you, but I'll take care of the enemies. The word of God says in St. Peter, he says, the judgment starts from the house of God. So God is going to clean up his house first, his people first, and then he's going to take care of the enemies. So first of all, he says, I want to take care of my people. I'm going to take all the idol worship from you, and then I'm going to go and see who are the people trying to do the idol worship, and I'll take care of their cities, I'll take care of their countries. You see today, people are doing drugs and alcohol and all of these things, and we're saying, we don't want people bringing drugs to our country, and we're trying to harm them or arrest them or put them in a jail. What is the solution? Solution is very simple. You take care of your children. You train your children not to smoke, not to drink, not to take marijuana, and everything will be over. You're trying to tell somebody, don't bring those things to our country. If they don't bring, you will produce your own. Now see some of the cities in America. Now they said, well, we want marijuana for medical purposes. And slowly, slowly they said, now we want marijuana for, entertainment?
Recreation.
And so what they're doing, now they are producing their own, and they have some farming going on. And so one city is doing, one state is doing, another state say, we want to do it. And pretty soon, all over the America, people will be smoking marijuana, and their children will be smoking marijuana. They say, oh, it doesn't hurt, because it's not bad than drinking and smoking. This is better than a cigarette. But they did some research. It affects your brain. Your children will be dull. They will not be studying properly. Now, you see the Chinese people, what they're doing. When you get the Chinese food, your dogs are dying. People are having mental problem. And so many vaccination you bring from there. And our children are getting problems. So the point I'm making, the enemy is already trying to destroy America slowly but surely. And so when you start making your children dull, and when you start smoking and drinking, and you do not know what you're doing, and so the enemy will be coming very easily to destroy you. We don't have to worry. But some people say, oh, if God protects us, then we should not have any army, we should not have any weapons, we should not have anything, just go to church and pray. It will work, but the enemy doesn't see that way. When you see the King David, he was so big warrior. Everybody were afraid of them. And then Solomon got the more army and more weaponry, so the people were afraid. Solomon didn't have war with anybody. But seeing his army and his weapons, people were afraid. So the people today, they're thinking, well, America is nothing now. We are going to take over. But still we have a chance. We go to the root, go to the God, pray and say, Lord, help us. Our strength, our power doesn't work. The point I'm making, we should not be having friendship with enemy. We should only have friendship with the children of God. Okay, let's go back to the Micah. Verse 15. Okay, go ahead. Okay.
And I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard.
God is going to destroy them. Let's read the verse, Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 to 8.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made.
Okay, now here we read these things in a book of Micah chapter 4, if you remember. Now here we seeing God is going to do a miracle. He's going to destroy the enemy. And now he says, when Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there will be no one learning war. Nobody will have military. Israeli people will not have military. And nobody will be teaching war. And Jesus Christ will be the Prince of Peace and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 1,000 years will be peaceful kingdom. Now, at that time, nobody's learning war, nobody's doing war, and people are forgetting there is only one final war will be there. Do you know when? Because the word of God says in a millennium, the devil will be bound for 1,000 years, and he says, after that, he will be loose. And when the devil will be loose after the millennium, then what he does, you have to read in the Revelation chapter 20, he goes to Gog and Magog. Now, Gog and Magog is Russia. Now, he will be going to Gog and Magog and all other countries through them and bring all those people to do war with Israeli people. Again, that will be the final war. Israeli people did not have the war equipment. And God says, your chariot will be destroyed. Your power will be destroyed and you will not make any war. And all the war instrument will be making a farming and things like that. And in that kind of time, when the devil will be loose, and enemy always doesn't do the right thing. For example, Russia tells America, you know, you have so many nuclear warheads and we don't need that. So we are going to eliminate. So what we say, okay, we'll do it. So we cut our things, they don't do theirs. So the same thing in a time of millennium, Israeli people will not have any war, no war weapons and anything, but some of the enemies might be hiding somewhere or keeping them. And they said, now Israeli people do not have any army and they don't have any walls. They said, now they are living in peacefully without the wall. And so there will be no wall, there will be no army, there will be no weapons. So it will be very easy. We tricked them. We did not destroy our weapons, but we have our own weapons. So let's go and destroy them. And the word of God says, if you read in Revelation chapter 20, he brings all the armies of the world in front of Israeli people. And the word of God says, fire comes from heaven and destroys them all. Can you imagine? God doesn't need any weapons. Our God is a consuming fire. He can destroy. When we trust in our flesh, that's the time we go down. I have money, whatever happens, I'll handle, the lawyers will handle. I have money, if sickness comes, we will spend the money. We have everything. But the money is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Don't trust, we just read, don't trust any man, don't trust any king. When they die, everything vanishes away. But Jesus Christ lives forever. Jesus Christ says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. Jesus Christ is not going to die. He is in there for eternity. So our God is there. We should be going to him for the answer. Don't bow down your head to any king or any, Russia or China or Saudi Arabia or anybody. They're all going to be destroyed. If you read in the book of Obadiah, he says how this Esau is this Saudi Arabia. All these people will be killed and destroyed. Very few people. Last chapter we learned, nobody who has the number 66 on their forehead, on their hands, those are the people the devil will say, you cannot buy or you cannot sell anything, take the number. Majority people will take the number. And the word of God says, whoever takes the number, they will be doomed. Why? Because they want to do business, they want to buy, they want to sell, they want to eat. But the people who would not take the number, they will be killed. But the word of God says, in a book of Revelation, the people will overcome with the word of their testimony and the blood of Jesus Christ. When you plead the blood and the word of God will protect you, and even though they kill you, you will have eternal life. John says, the one angel said, do you know where these people are coming? Millions of multitude. He said, I don't know. You tell me. He said, all these people are coming from the great tribulation. Many, many people will give their life in the great tribulation. The point I'm making, in the millennium, they will be sinners. We already said in the last chapter, the sinners. But if those sinners had the 66 numbers and 66 numbers on their hand or forehead, they cannot be in the millennium. Because all those are the devil's followers, they will be destroyed. Then who will be there? Maybe some ladies were pregnant and they did not deliver the baby at that time. And that baby did not have any mark or something. And those kind of people who did not have mark, they will be in the millennium, but they will be still the products of sinners. And so they will have the sin nature, but the children of God, they will not commit sin. So in a millennium, the sinners will die when they are 100 years old. The baby will not die, but they will die in 100 years old. And so in that time, peaceful kingdom, nobody's learning war, but the word of God says the final war will happen and God will fight for us and the devil will be defeated forever. And after that, the judgment. And in the judgment time, the people from Adam until the people died in the millennium kingdom, all people will be judged. Some people saying, oh, how the people will be judged if somebody was in jungle of Africa and never heard about Jesus, and how God can judge them. Do you know, today, everywhere in African jungle, they're hearing the radio, There is the word of God is going around the world everywhere. And even though somebody says they never heard about Jesus, what the word of God says, you have to go to the book of Romans chapter 2. And it says there are two, three different kinds of judgment God will do. One group of people will be judged according to their conscience. That means even though you did not hear the gospel, but you have the conscience. And your conscience will say good and bad. Because the day the man ate the fruit, he knows good and evil. And so they know who is my mother, who is my father, who is the dog and who is the cat, who is the man and who is the woman. And they did not treat them properly according to their conscience, then they will be judged according to conscience. And some people will be judged according to the law. Who are those people? Jewish people. Jewish people have the law and they don't do anything according to their law. They will be judged according to the law. And the Christian people, the word of God says, they will be judged according to the gospel. Whatever you heard and you didn't do according to the word of God, they will be judged. So there will be not a single person in the time of judgment said, I didn't know. Everybody will be judged. And after the judgment, many people are thinking, kingdom of God will be there for millennium. And after the millennium, we will be living for here for eternity. Here we say that in the last days, you remember? Last days, he will have the millennium. Last days means that those days will be finishing. The millennium, it says 1,000 years. If God wanted us to live on this earth for eternity, then it would say eternity kingdom, right? Kingdom for eternity. It didn't say eternal kingdom on earth. It says the millennium kingdom on earth. The millennium is 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, this millennium kingdom will be over. After the judgment, then the headquarter changes from here to heaven. Now, the headquarter will be in the Jerusalem. Then the headquarter will change to the new Jerusalem in heaven. And the word of God says this earth, this heaven will pass away. Now, many scholars will say, oh, it will not pass away because just like a time of Noah, God renewed the earth, the same way this old earth will be renewed by fire. No, he says it will pass away and you will never remember. It will be gone. There will be no sea. It will be completely gone. And God is making new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. And God says in Revelation chapter 22, behold, I'm going to make everything new. And it says done. So that means everything new is not renew or remodel. Our God can make everything new. So this old earth, the old heaven, and old things and old sea will be gone. So God is overall the king. Shall we rise? Trust in God, and God will come to rescue you. If you are a born-again child of God, God will protect you. He says in 91 Psalm, thousands will be right and left. But if you stay closer to God and under his wings, nothing will harm you. So the point I'm making, our God is a prayer answering God. Let's trust in God. All these things talking to you in Micah happened many years ago. But we know Jesus Christ came and he's coming back as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But before that, before the problem comes, we will be gone. And 7 years of hell on earth is not for us. It's for the people who reject Christ or who do not believe in Christ. Let's pray. Father, give us grace, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.